Dinegi konjo sumna te ngi kep su tro de da ji kunwa de ya ne simja tamji ge de no sanyo ko to ba ji gin sipe kunwa de ni ki ti ne ne mi ya konjo sumli ya ji konjo te ba ji ji de ko ne luma yi sumyo ko ne ne kep su tro ya da che u fu ya la so ba de ne da ga ji ge ni me ji li ya ne ji ke ne mi la len da ya la nga dro ne ya sum che de ne ka ya chi ya che ya da de ne ji ge
This morning we looked at the practice of refuge, in particular how one goes for refuge, how one takes refuge. And we spoke here about the motivation that one should generate, the motivation to lead all sentient beings to the state of enlightenment. And we also spoke about how one goes for refuge with one's body, with one's speech, and with one's mind. And then lastly, we looked at, we briefly mentioned, the importance of a dedication. As we rise in the morning, we set a motivation, we engage in some meditation, do our commitments and the like, and our activities for the day. It's important then at the end of the day, then to look back and dedicate for the enlightenment of all sentient beings. So that's what we looked at this morning.
So as
was just said, we looked at the presentation on refuge this morning. So the presentation in the context of our text here is very brief. When we later come to look at it in terms of the Lamrim, we'll see there's the presentation is much more extensive. And in terms of the presentation that is to be found in the Lamrim Chemel, there the presentation shows how refuge is taken in accordance with the being of small capacity and in accordance with the being of middling capacity. And so here our text hasn't referred to that, but there is this meaning in the explicitly stated, but implicitly stated. So a person of small capacity, when they go for refuge, they will have the motivation of being of attaining a good rebirth in their future lives, and not to fall into the lower realms. And so this meaning is implicit in the refuge practice. It wasn't explicitly stated this morning. And similarly, a person then of middling capacity, when they go for refuge, they will be going for refuge for protection from the sufferings of samsara entirely, and with the motivation to become liberated from suffering in it, from samsara in its entirety. So again, this wasn't explicitly stated this morning, but this is this meaning is implicitly included. So the motivation in accordance with the capacity of the individual practitioner. So now we come to the presentation on the being of great capacity, in particular the mind of bodhicitta. So similar to what we'd find in the Lamrim, then this follows the presentation from the being of small capacity, middling capacity, and now we come to the great capacity being, and starting to look at bodhicitta.
Can you read the first two lines or verse 10?
So here we have an attitude of love for all sentient beings or living creatures. So before this, before one comes to meditate on love for all sentient beings, then there are a few meditation topics that come before that. So these would be coming to see that how all sentient beings in past lives have been our mothers, recalling their kindness and generating the strong wish to repay the kindness. So these three steps precede what we see here, attitude of love for all sentient beings. This is because if we haven't meditated on these preceding steps, the mind of love will for all sentient beings, so the objects for all sentient beings, we will not be able to generate that. Because if we don't have a wish to help sentient beings, to be of benefit to sentient beings, then we're not going to give rise to the mind of love. And this mind of wanting to help and be of benefit to sentient beings isn't going to arise unless we have meditated on the kindness that sentient beings have shown us. And similarly, the meditation on the kindness of sentient beings, this isn't going to arise if the preceding step of meditating on the relationship that we have with all sentient beings, that all sentient beings have been our mothers, if that hasn't been done, then the subsequent step will not arise. So therefore, this sequence is required. Before one can generate love, one needs the preceding step of the wish to repay the kindness, and before for that to arise, one needs to have meditated on the kindness of others, and for that to arise, one needs to have meditated on our relationship with others, the relationship, the close relationship that we have with all sentient beings.
Yeah, 가슴 고생 나를야 가르게린 짐보래 나를야 칼아째요 말에 나를 로꼬째죠 가르스게린 짐보 차기래 선비 삼로 리기로 한테 뒤로와
This for us to recall the kindness of all sentient beings. Well, this for this to arise in a heartfelt way is quite difficult. To get beyond it being just a mere concept is quite difficult. Because if we think about the kindness that all sentient beings have shown us, a strong feeling doesn't arise, because this category or this of all sentient beings remains an intellectual concept. And if you think, for example, of the vast array of types of sentient beings there are, both seen by us and unseen by us, how do we generate this view of this relationship with all sentient beings who are, for example, maybe as predators or as hell beings or animals that we haven't ever seen? This is very difficult to do. And even amongst humans, the vast number of human beings we've never met, we haven't seen even from a distance. So to generate a thought of how kind they've been to us when, well, they haven't fed me, they haven't helped me directly, how can we generate this mind of kindness? So it's actually very difficult to give rise to this understanding of the kindness of all sentient beings. The reason that it's difficult to relate in a powerful way to this concept of all sentient beings is because we haven't trained in this, we haven't developed this way of thinking. So how does one train in this? Well, there's a sequence, a progression, and one needs to train in this sequence. So this starts with recalling the kindness of our mother of this life. The sequence is presented in a specific order because it's been proven to be effective. So therefore one needs to train in accordance with the sequence. The reason it's presented that one should start with one's mother of this life is because we can recall on our own direct experience. We directly remember our mother caring for us from when we were quite young. And we are able to very easily imagine the care that she gave to us even before when our memory started. So we know that from the moment that she was aware of her pregnancy, she took care of us when we were in her womb and dependent on her every action. And from the moment when we were born and we were just a little infant and we were completely helpless, she cared for us and fulfilled our every need. And as we grew and our needs changed, she continued to look after us and continued to care for us. And throughout many years our welfare was at the forefront of her mind. So this is something that we have experience of, maybe not all the steps, such as when she was pregnant and we were in her womb and newly born and the like. But certainly for many years we can directly recall the kindness that our mother of this life showed us. If we engage in this meditation, recollecting the kindness of our mother and then our father and the like, then if we do this repeatedly, a strong sense of closeness for our parents will arise in our mind, and a strong mind of love for them will arise in our mind. If we don't engage in this meditation, a mind of closeness and this mind of love to that degree or that power, that will not arise. And where we can see this is when our parents have difficulties and their children are just too busy to help. They have many obligations and commitments in their life, and they just ignore the difficulties that their parents are engaging in, and don't help them when they otherwise could. Whereas if one has engaged in this meditation, one will feel emotionally very close to one's parents and have a very strong mind of love for them. And when they have a need, we will immediately and without hesitation put aside our other obligations, and we will fulfill this responsibility we have for our parents, and we will be there for them. And if one has cultivated this sense of closeness with one's parents, then if they encounter difficulties, it will have a powerful effect on oneself. One may be moved to tears, or certainly if they were to pass, then one would be quite distraught about this. And we can see the difference then if someone else's parents, if they encounter great difficulties, we see how very different our reaction is, and that's because we are not so emotionally close to them. We haven't cultivated such a similar a mind to them. Or if someone else's parents die, we may feel sad for the suffering of our friend, but we ourselves will not be emotionally affected in any way similar as if it were our own parent. And that is because of the difference in the mental closeness.
Amalia,
one starts, so in terms of the sequence, one starts with one's mother of this life and recollects her kindness repeatedly, so that this mind of mental closeness towards her grows and strengthens, as does the mind of love for her. And when that is powerful and stable, then one moves one's object from one's mother of this life to one's father, and then repeats the process.
That I'm a nation, I'm a genio, the senior answer, Baba Gitin and Alepando. That is Sedelaya, and those public kids, Simbolis, Dusi Babalia, and Kiwangama, the other, I'm a genio, that I'm a nation in Chimbo. And how about that? That I'm a Mayina, that he goes to Sosolia, and Chick Benjora, Gama, Chicky Seata, Lotion, Dona, Sosolia, Tatochia, those kids, Simbolis, then Baba the kids, Simbol, giant, the Santa Chang, the little child in Babalia. 양치게 아마 되지 아마가 장와 나신진 바발레 샘단이 오다 제와 친구 이고레스
Meditating then on the kindness of our father. So of course the in some ways, the way he cared for us was quite different from how our mothers did, in that our father, of course, wasn't pregnant with us, didn't breastfeed us and the like. So there are some unique characteristics to this. However, in terms of other ways, he cared for us just like our mother did, in terms of taking care of us, loving us, ensuring we're safe and protected, etc. He cared for us just like our mother did. So this we need to recollect and generate a powerful recollection of the kindness of our father. And then, whilst there are these differences between how our mother and father in this life have cared for us, our father in this life, in a previous life, had that relationship of being our mother towards us. So in that previous life, he cared for us in the same way as our mother of this life did. So thinking like this and doing so repeatedly, then one will generate a powerful mind of mental closeness with our father, and generate powerful love for our father. And this would be of the similar strength to the mind that we have generated for our mother. We've now cultivated these minds of love for our mother and our father. We then move the object, and now we move the object to our close relatives. And we generate in a similar way minds of recalling the kindness of our close relatives. So depending on the relationship, we can think about the actual kindness they have shown in this life. And if that relationship isn't so clear in that way, one recalls the kindness they have shown us in previous lives, when they were our mother, when they were our father, etc. And the reason this third step, so we start with our mother of this life, then our father of this life, and now to our relatives. The reason we now move to our relatives is because one is likely to have an emotionally close relationship with one's extended family. And because of this emotional connection, it is therefore much easier to generate this mind of closeness for them, and from this the mind of love for them. So that's why we move from our parents to our other relatives.
That
Then when one has developed this strong mind of love for our other relatives, our extended family, then one moves the objects again. And so now in this fourth step, one moves the objects to the group, the category of people with which one in this life doesn't have a close emotional connection with. So we can have a close connection that's either that's positive or that's not so positive. So here we're talking about those that we have don't have such a relationship with, a neutral relationship. So people that we are possibly quite indifferent towards. And this is a very large category. And in here, one starts to contemplate in relation to them in a similar way as we've done before. So to generate this mind of closeness. And lastly, we move to the group of people who we have an adverse relationship, so those who have harmed us in some way. So here, with this group now, we see that in this life we have an unfortunate relationship with them. But in previous lives, we would have had a very different relationship. So whilst our relationship is maybe adversarial and the like, and they've harmed us in some way in this life, in a previous life we would have had a relationship of our mother and child. And in a previous life they would have cared for us in the same way that our kind mother in this life has cared for us. So this is then the next object of our meditation. Going through the sequence is how we'll slowly come to relate to all sentient beings in a close and an intimate way, and come to see how we have this relationship with all sentient beings, that through our previous lives we've had very close relationships where they've shown us tremendous amounts of kindness. And coming to see the kindness then of all sentient beings, the strong wish to repay that kindness will arise within us. So in the same way as we spoke earlier about how if one has meditated on the kindness of one's mother of this life, one will have a strong sense of mental closeness with her and a strong sense of love for her. And then whenever she has some kind of difficulty, we will put aside whatever other responsibilities we have and we'll willingly help her. So in the same way as we would have achieved such a mindset with the mother of this life, we now will have such a way of thinking or a way of relating to all sentient beings. And therefore, we will have a mind of wanting to help others as much as we can to resolve all their problems and all their difficulties in any way we want to, in any way we can, sorry. So this is a mind that will arise in us with a powerful strength and will arise naturally within us, wanting to help others in whatever way we can and for whatever need they have.
Some
people may well have, a number of people will have doubts with regard to this presentation. So those who don't accept reincarnation, they will have a clear doubt with regard to this presentation. But furthermore, we may be sitting here thinking that the kindness that was shown to me by people in past lives, well, actually, they weren't really helping me because I'm here now. Whoever this being was in the past life, that wasn't me. So why do I owe them anything? So it is possible that one has such a doubt. So to say that the kindness that was shown in previous lives has no relevance to me now, was not important because this is the past and it's many lifetimes ago, this is quite frankly an unacceptable way to think. And the reason it's unacceptable is because it's no different from someone sitting here who's maybe in their 50s or their 60s and saying, well, the kindness my mother showed me in this life when I was an infant actually has no relevance to me right now because I'm not an infant anymore. And her ensuring that, or my parents ensuring that I received a good education and I was cared for, well, that was very nice back then, but it doesn't matter now. I'm now, I'm an adult, and that was a long time ago. It has no connection to who I am right now. So that way of thinking is, of course, mistaken. It's clearly mistaken. Because the person that we are now and the person that we were when we were a child, is of the same continuum. So there's a very clear causal relationship between the kindness that our parents showed us then and the result of that we are now experiencing much later on. And so understanding it in that way, we can see very clearly that the relationship that we had with beings in previous lives, that does have an impact now, in that the continuum between previous lives and now continues. It is that the same continuum or that same lineage. So therefore, it is unacceptable to disregard the kindness that others have shown us in previous lives just because it was a long time ago.
When we engage in the meditation on that all beings have been our mothers, that they've shown us tremendous kindness, and doing this to give rise to the wish to repay that kindness, when we engage in these meditations, we need to utilize reasons. Because if we don't utilize reasons and we just think all sentient beings have been my mother, and then we think, and not only have they been my mother, but they've been very kind to me, if we just think like that, a powerful mind and a stable mind will not arise. We have to use reasoning. So the kind of reasoning that we could use would be to recall specific instances of kindness that with our mother, that our mother has shown us, and repeat those instances, recall those instances repeatedly. Then similarly, think about the difficulties that our parents endured for our good, that they endured on our behalf. So thinking about specific instances as well as all the difficulties they went through and going through this process again and again, then this way of thinking will come about and recalling the kindness that our mother and then our father have shown us in this life. Then when we progress with our meditation and we come to, for example, the kindness of strangers, so these are people that we are generally indifferent towards. So here the meditation may seem much more difficult, but we go through the same process and we think about the kindness that strangers in this life have shown us. And here we need to utilize the kind of thinking that we heard about when we studied the Heart Sutra a year ago. And here, there we looked a lot at the topic of dependent arising or interdependence. So in this life, we are helped by strangers continuously. We may have no conscious awareness of it, but this is the case. Our food comes from somewhere. We don't grow it for ourselves. All the resources that we have, these come from somewhere. And people don't magically create these and give them to us. Rather, they endure a lot of difficulties. Farmers need to work very hard, get up early, work late, etc. Shopkeepers who sell the goods, they also have many hardships, worrying about making a profit, etc. So through their endeavor, we receive benefit. So indirectly, they help us. Indirectly, they show us kindness.
And this kind of thinking we should then apply much more broadly than these kinds of obvious examples, because everyone directly contributes to the national economy, and this has an impact on us. So we have this relationship of interdependence with all beings, because we can take this thinking then further to animals and the like, and then of course our past lives. So this is how we should come, how we should meditate, and if we do this repeatedly, doing the same analytical process again and again, then a mind of mental closeness, even to strangers, will come about. So to give another analogy that we can understand quite easily, we sometimes see on the news how refugees who have fled a war zone, they are in a refugee camp somewhere on the outskirts or maybe in a neighboring country and the like. And there they'll receive food from donors, donors from international companies or countries or organizations. Now, they are receiving food from these individuals, the aid workers, and those aid workers are showing them a great kindness. But that food came from other countries, and that was bought for by the taxpayers of those countries. It was grown by the farmers of those countries. So this is very clear how these strangers in other countries, the taxpayers, the farmers, etc., how through their endeavor, someone on the outskirts of a war zone is now receiving life-sustaining aid. So thinking like this, it becomes very clear how people are interdependent, and we all depend on the kindness of others.
And this way of thinking is very beneficial, and we should cultivate this mind regularly so that this mental habit becomes powerful and strong. And we should take this and apply it in a variety of situations. So, for example, we normally talk about the kindness of the teacher and viewing the teacher in a particular way. But for there to be a teacher, there also requires to be students. So who has been kinder? And then for there to be a teacher and there to be students, there needs to be a Dharma center. And the Dharma center didn't just come about on its own. There are people who work here and make this Dharma center accessible and ensure that it's always open. And then this Dharma center, of course, didn't magically appear. It was founded, and it was founded by Lama Yeshe and Lama Zopa many years ago. So therefore, thinking in this way, we go beyond just thinking about the kindness of the teacher, we go to think about the kindness of our fellow students, the kindness of the people who work here and volunteer here, and we think about the kindness of the founder of the Dharma Center, Lama Yeshe and Lama Zopa. And thinking in this way is very beneficial for the mind, because we accumulate a lot of virtue, we purify a lot of negativity, and we become even more aware of our interdependence with others and the kindness of others.
Mm.
Without going through these stages of the meditation and doing the meditation in the way that it's been described and doing it each step repeatedly so that it comes to the point of arising naturally and powerfully in one's mind, then one will not give rise, if one doesn't do this, one will not give rise to a powerful mind of love for others. And this can be said with certainty because this is a method taught based on experience. So our founder Buddha, before he attained enlightenment, he meditated in this way. All the great masters of the past, such as Nagarjuna, Lama Tsongkhapa, as well as the current day masters that we have connection with, they too have all meditated in this way, and they teach this meditation technique based on their own experience. So therefore, because it's based on the experience and it's produced the results that it has, we should have confidence that this this technique works, and that we should therefore engage in this technique so as to bring about the result of a powerful mind of love within us. Having meditated in the way then that has now been described quite clearly, then one will give rise to the wish to repay the kindness that sentient beings have shown us. And when this mind is powerful and strong within us, and we want to repay the kindness of all sentient beings, all without exception, then our mind will turn to how to repay the kindness. Then we'll think, so what do sentient beings want? And all sentient beings have the same wish. They want to be mentally happy and experience only moments of mental happiness. And they want to be physically comfortable and physically happy as well. So all sentient beings want to experience mental and physical happiness. Understanding that, we'd also know, though, that the experience of happiness is a result. And being a result, it has a cause. So then we need to investigate what are the causes for happiness. Because if we want sentient beings to be happy, the causes for happiness need to be accumulated, because then they will experience the result. So the causes for happiness are practices such as generosity, guarding ethical conduct, patience and the like. So there's this vast array of practices which accumulate the causes that ripen into happiness. So these then are things that sentient beings need to engage in. So how do sentient beings come to engage in them? They need to be have these presented to them. They need to be shown this, explained to them. So they need to come to understand how to accumulate the causes for happiness. Now, we have this mind of love, this mind that wants all sentient beings to experience happiness and to bring this about. So we then generate this wish of, I will be the one to teach them how to accumulate these causes of happiness. I will be the one to lead them in this way to the experience the result of the causes, that namely happiness. So this then is the mind of love.
One have this mind, it's this powerful mind though, one may still have some doubts and one may think, I want all sentient beings to be happy, I want to help them accumulate the causes for happiness, but how can I bring this about because sentient beings are such a huge number. Yeah, and how do I teach all of these sentient beings? And what about those that they're like such as animals? I can't teach animals. They just don't have the capacity to hear and understand. And furthermore, if I fulfill ordinary needs such as fulfilling food and the like, and giving food to sentient beings, that's not enough. That doesn't lead to lasting happiness. So what can one do to overcome these very real obstacles?
So having this doubt is actually quite understandable because it is difficult to benefit all sentient beings. There are those that can't be taught because they don't have interest, or they can't be taught because they don't have the mental capacity to understand. And similarly, sentient beings, just say humans, have such a variety of needs and difficulties that to fulfill all of this is difficult. So thinking like this can be quite can make one a bit apprehensive about engaging in this way. So here it's important to understand the purpose behind this meditation. What we are doing in coming to this now that we've come to the point of generating the mind of love is we continue this meditation to generate the wish to fulfill all the needs of sentient beings in whatever way I can and whenever I can. So we are primarily generating this wish to help. So it's particularly this mind of wishing, of wanting to help that we are generating. The mind of whenever I have the opportunity, I will guide sentient beings in accordance with the Dharma. When I have the opportunity to meet beings' material needs, such as giving food and clothing and the like, I will help them in that way. And training in this way repeatedly, then that mind of the mind of wishing to help, this will become very powerful. And then when we have those opportunities to help, we will grasp those opportunities with both hands and we will willingly and wholeheartedly help sentient beings then and there. If we haven't trained in this way, then that won't necessarily come about.
세상 되게 장고 고래 되게 나도래 다지 시행 되게 고고래서 몇 삼로 요래 나도야 전에야 되게 고고래서 야고 존나서 몇 삼로 요래 먼저 삼로디 마장 와인자 누구 친구 차요 말해 마장 와인자 누구 친구 차요 말해 마장 와인자 인변에 미 지기 교회 지기야 먼저게 나와 지 나래야 고모 주니 슈로 주로 제 틈나 제 왔습니다 제마도야 제마도다 다워질려 고모 쭈쭈쭈 되게디나 걸려라고 제미교들 로고치 미칠 삼다와이나 로고치 투여어데 난저기디 대체 소소게 자하게 삼로데 로고 제고도 선배게 다코 되기 두고도 선배 삼로데 마찬가지 아니 제 투여 지교 말다 투여 예바 누가 예나 지교 말다 但 미교로 투선 디얼롱하데서나 되네게는 되네 난저기데 찍 고모 주인슈 찍아 두고데기 Nibu yunaya, ta tenegi tegi hantu ki ta kol ya digi di kuudu sempegi samlo jangtor di nibu mewa yunza, ane tetu gu oma, nibu yunaya. Seta, hantu ki di te matuwa di kharse, hantu li semchele digi du kuudu sempe, digi kuudu sempe, samlo di jangtor di shuk chenpo mewa yunza, ane di gu yunaya tetu gu oma. Seta ta, duuchi hantu digi du kuudu sempegi jangwa yunna, duuchi jangtor che, jangtor chen pe, jine, They got some chili, same dig you on it, and then same chill, same assembly, the new body, the other. Then you go up ready, couple of lamps, G to water, G to water. Then go up ready, G to water. Just don't go up ready, that would be a color, a gujara, and a roche or an aja. Then you go up ready, check it on a look on the collier, chicken yam name, look on to jail or another. Just not go up ready, G to water. Just another gentle mirror, I don't go up and a G to go, my. 제투에 누구에 내 지교 말. 제가 마도바디 장도 미비 김자. 제가 디 장고 그래서 디려.
Here bring emphasizes concept of training, of repeatedly engaging in these meditations, so that we train ourselves to develop a new way of thinking, and a new way of thinking that is powerful and consistent within us. Because as we're sitting here, we do have thoughts that others want to be happy, I want others to be happy. We do have these thoughts. But they are not powerful because we haven't trained sufficiently in them. And this can be seen in that when we sometimes have an opportunity to help, we don't wholeheartedly or readily engage in that opportunity. So for example, if we have the financial means to give to charity every month, we may not do that. So if we can afford, for example, $10 or $20 and we give to a charity that helps poor people, we may well have the capacity to help in that way. But because we haven't trained in this way of thinking, we don't take such opportunities when they come our way. However, if we have trained in this way and we have developed the strong wish to repay the kindness of others and developed a wish of love for others, then whenever an opportunity comes to be of benefit to others, so for example, encountering someone who is in poverty, we will wholeheartedly help them in whatever way we can, with food and clothing and the like. Or if we have the opportunity to share our Dharma knowledge with someone to help them deal with their difficulties and problems in their lives, if we've trained in this way, we will wholeheartedly help them and we will want to be there for them and help them. So this all comes about in dependence on having successfully trained. If we have trained, we'll readily be there for others. If we haven't trained, then that mind, it will not spontaneously arise.
Then
When one engages in this meditation, then one will have before us, we'll have the representations of the body, speech, and mind of the Buddha, and we'll have a visualization of either the historical Buddha or another Buddha or our own teacher, and we generate this mind of love for others and the wish to be able to help others accumulate the causes for happiness. And having now generated this in our mind of this strong and powerful wish to help sentient beings to attain happiness and help them accumulate the causes for lasting happiness, we then make a request to either Buddha Shakyamuni or whichever Buddha we have visualized or our own teacher, and we request that they bless us so that we have the strength of mind and the ability to be of benefit to others. And making this heartfelt request now to our teacher or to the Buddha, we then visualize light rays coming from them, and light rays entering us at our crown. And so these light rays are accompanied with nectar, and this flows into us like water, and purifying us of all our previously accumulated negativities. And then not only purifying us of our negativities of the body, speech, and mind, but also giving rise to strengthening our ability to be of benefit to others. And in this way, the aspiration to be of benefit to others receives the blessing from our teacher or from the Buddha.
Gimla then read the last of this verse 10 and read most of verse 11. And so this now is on compassion. So the meditation now moves from love to compassion.
Then this meditation on compassion is, of course, to generate compassion for the suffering of all sentient beings. But the first step in this meditation is actually to think about ourselves and our own situation. And this first step is very important. So we start with thinking about our own situation in terms of our own understanding of and experience of suffering. And so here we can, for example, think about physical suffering that we have experienced and recall that to mind. Because it's only through our own understanding of suffering that we can relate in a powerful and emotional manner to the suffering of others. So as an illustration, if we have suffered a particular physical injury or illness, and if we then meet someone who has that same difficulty, then our empathy for them, our compassion for them, will be so much more powerful because we can relate to what they are experiencing. So for that reason, we start this meditation, on compassion, first by recalling our own experience of suffering. So for example, if two people who are watching, say, the news on television, and they had very different childhoods, one came from an impoverished background, and one came from a well-off background. So in speaking, of course, in general, they are likely to, when they see the suffering situation of people in other parts of the world, they are likely to have a very different reaction, or the strength of reaction, rather, is likely to be quite different. Because the person who has experienced the suffering that they're seeing, for example, of people who do not have food security, or do not have somewhere safe to live, if someone as a child had experienced something similar, when they now see other children who are suffering from food, from famine, from a shortage of food, or not having somewhere safe to live, they will relate to it in a very personal and powerful manner, and in most cases, in a much more powerful manner than the person who has no experience of that kind of suffering. So for these reasons, then, we need to start this meditation on compassion by thinking about our own suffering condition. So in terms of ourselves, it's very easy to relate to the suffering, or the physical suffering that we have experienced. This is very easy. We can easily recall the illnesses that we've experienced and other physical difficulties. And therefore, that is quite easy to relate to others experiencing such suffering. However, that of course doesn't encompass the full scope of suffering. And there's also the suffering of change and the all-pervasive suffering of conditioning. So these two aren't immediately apparent, And if we haven't trained in these, and first come to understand them, and then secondly trained in them, or in other words meditated on them repeatedly, then it's going to be very difficult to be able to relate to the suffering of others in terms of the suffering of change and the all-pervasive suffering of conditioning.
So he starts then by this meditation about thinking about our own suffering situation, and in particular if we have trained in the three types of suffering, we should think about all three types. And then when we have this, our own suffering experience clear in our mind, then we relate it to other sentient beings. Because I am suffering in this way, and other sentient beings are suffering in exactly the same way that I am. My suffering and experiences are not unique to me, they are shared with other sentient beings. And in the same way that I want to be freed from all forms of suffering and not have to experience any type of discomfort or discontent at all, so do all sentient beings. And bearing in mind we have previously meditated on love, we have this wish for all sentient beings to experience happiness. But as long as they are experiencing suffering, they are not able to experience happiness fully. So therefore, we continue with our meditation, and here when we're thinking about suffering, we can think about suffering in a very wide manner. So we spoke about the threefold presentation, or the suffering of suffering, suffering of change, and all pervasive suffering or conditioning. Then there's also the sixfold and the eightfold division of suffering. So these all need to come to be known and see how they relate to ourselves, and then relate them in meditation to others. So for example, there's the sufferings of birth, aging, sickness and death. So if we've come to understand what these are and we see how it does relate to us, we then apply it in our meditation to others, knowing that all sentient beings want to be free of these types of suffering in the same way that we want to be free, and that until we are free of this type of suffering, these types of suffering, no happiness happiness cannot truly be experienced. And then recalling that all the suffering that sentient beings are experiencing is coming about for the same reason that we are experiencing it, and that is because the suffering has been accumulated due to us acting under the influence of the afflictions. So in other words, due to the dominance of the afflicted mind, we accumulate contaminated karma and therefore experience suffering. So that is true for myself, and it's true for every kind of sentient being. And this is where all the types of suffering that I experience come from, and all the kinds of suffering that sentient beings experience, that is where it comes from.
Yeah,
then the next step is thinking about that all sentient beings need to be freed from suffering. But it's not just the results of suffering that they need to be freed from, it's in particular the causes of suffering that need to be eliminated. And it's meditating on this that gives rise to the mind of compassion. Because if the cause hasn't been eliminated, then further causes will be accumulated and further suffering will be experienced. Further results will come about. So therefore it's essential that the cause of suffering needs to be eliminated. And so generating the strong wish for all sentient beings to be free from suffering, and in particular the causes of suffering, this then gives rise to the mind of compassion. So today then, we're going to finish here then for today. And in this session, we've spoken a lot about meditation. We spoke about how to cultivate, first, recollect the kindness of our mother, our mother of this life, and repeat that meditation and expand that meditation, first when it's stable with regard to our mother, to our father, etc. And we keep doing this, generating a mind aware of the great kindness that others have shown us, and we expand the circle of love slowly. We expand it so it gets broader and broader, including not just our relatives but our people who are in this life are strangers to us, and expanding that circle of love, including eventually enemies as well. So we get to the point where we see that each and every sentient being has been as kind to us as our mother of this life, and that we cannot point to any sentient being and say this one has since beginning of time shown us more kindness than this one. There's no such relationship. All sentient beings have been equally kind to us. Then once we come to this point of this very powerful and stable understanding of the kindness that all sentient beings have shown us, then this wish to repay their kindness will naturally arise, and arise in a powerful and stable manner. And when that has arisen in us, with this wish to repay the kindness, then we'll immediately think, how can I do so? And knowing that all sentient beings want to experience only happiness and don't want to experience even a moment of suffering, we will then generate this strong wish to repay the kindness by helping all sentient beings experience only happiness, both temporary happiness as well as to create the causes for lasting happiness, for ultimate happiness. We will cultivate this mind of love then repeatedly, and when that is strong and powerful, we will then move to the next object, the object of compassion. And here we start with the recognition that for sentient beings to be happy, they also need to be free from suffering. And so we then engage in the meditation as we've just described now, coming to the conclusion that all sentient beings need to be free not just from the suffering that they are experiencing, but from the causes of suffering, so that they don't experience or encounter any suffering in the future. So this is the meditation we've described today, and this is something that we ought to engage in repeatedly, so that these minds can arise in us and then arise in a powerful and stable manner. And if we do so, we can be sure that the Buddha and our teachers will rejoice, and the delight will come to their mind, because by engaging in this meditation, we are accumulating a huge store of merit, and we are approaching the attainment of the goal of enlightenment. And that is maybe our aspiration. It certainly is the aspiration of our teachers and the Buddha. So therefore, they generate great joy in our practice. And then we finish by dedicating this tremendous amount of merit that has been accumulated. So now what we've discussed here is a meditation that we should regularly engage in. And now in this retreat you have the opportunity to engage in this meditation. And this is something that I personally am very pleased about. And then tomorrow we will continue with this presentation, and we'll start with, we'll look at tomorrow at the mind of special intention and bodhicitta itself. So some questions. Andy first.
Okay, so regarding the pervasive suffering, it seems to me that I can't really understand how it comes up to get contaminated aggregates. It seems to me that I can't understand how we experience it differently from the others, because like suffering is suffering spirit, mind, body, mind. So how do we experience?
Okay. So it really is, how do we experience pervasive suffering? Yeah. Okay. Then you, The reason that we are not aware of this experience of all pervasive suffering of conditioning is because we haven't meditated sufficiently on it. Once we have meditated sufficiently on it, then we will come to experience that suffering. And then I said, ask Gena, can you talk a bit more about that meditation, how we should meditate on it? And he said, this is a topic that will come up. So I don't know if it's now or in the future, but it will come up. So in brief, the reason that we not experience it is because we're not yet aware of it. And so we need to meditate on it more, and in that way we'll become aware of it.
This morning, she mentioned the five obscurations.
Yes.
In reference to the 5 points of frustration.
Okay. So I'll try, because I asked them the way down, and I don't remember all the words, but I'll do my best in the answer.
Yeah, these are all mental factors, and I don't remember them all so well, but I'm trying. So,
Okay, I got it. So the first of the, so these are the five obscurations. So the first is excitement and regret. So the first obscuration is the abandonment of excitement and regret, I guess. That's the first. Then the second is sleep and lethargy. So sleep and lethargy. Then the third is the mind of harmful intent. And then the fourth is desire, and the fifth, ignorance. So I'll say it again. The first being excitement and regret. The second, sleep and lethargy. And then harmful intent. The third, desire and ignorance.
So excitement and regret, and these were the two that made one of the obscurations to abandon. And the second, sleep and lethargy, again this is two. So these two have a similarity in that lethargy is like this dullness when we meditate, and then sleep is of course similar in the way of dullness. So there's this relationship here between sleep and lethargy.
Right.
Any other questions? Okay then. Oh yes, yes. Okay. So can you gonna say something about the regret aspect of the first one? Then it So what regret refers to here is regret for having performed virtue. So that's what regret means in the context of an obscuration to abandon. And then I also just quickly double checked here. And so the one before we had was sleep, and I think I said lethargy, which is then correct, not laxity, yes. So sleep and lethargy, that was the correct translation. And then this regret refers to the regret of engaging in virtue.
Yeah, then Gyuva, Sidan Gyuva, Madivana, Gyuva Dilla, Sidan Gyuva, Migo, Niga, Jeva nala geva da migeva niga yungu. Yine adada geva seyadi diva seyadi zhangi jashu. Diga. Shizana dinza geva di bangu buwara. Geva baba mabwa na ane go diva leyaga niha yuwa se geva diva nala zhangi jashu.
So, of course, regret isn't a necessarily a non-virtuous mind. But here it specifically refers to regretting engaging in virtue, and therefore it's included as an obscuration. So specifically here, it's one of these changeable mental factors. It can be either virtuous or non-virtuous. Okay. Cameron?
Wondering what the relationship is between excitement and regret.
Okay. Yeah, the relationship between excitement and regret. Then gyopa dan gyopa. Then he drawa kariyare.
Because in that so ni dang mukpa. They drawa sabotong gede. You need gyopa dan gyopa. They drawa kariyare. 아니 치료를 줘야 돼. 진짜 개발세도 치료.
그러니까 이 치기 이 좌단 잡아오래.
개발세 줘. 진짜 샘 치료를 봐 치료를 줘야 되는 개발으로 와다. 이제 개발으로.
가서.
진짜다 개발하고 이제 치료 직 제제 메디버지 치료 질 이미지. 직 디제가 될려야 뒤마 선배 개발해 줘로 와. 진짜 권위가 뒤면으로 샘 치료를 줘 직발인다. 이 초직 샤바들 이제 차 함전의 직업인 거고만 이 차는 황이 직일 장가자셔 님 장가자고 김자로 되는 사람.
So the relationship is that they both go to an external object. So regret is to the external object of this virtuous activity that one had done, and then this mind of excitement. So this is again it's excited about an object that is external. Yeah. So just to say now. Extra to what Gendra said, this excitement is not how we use the word in English. It specifically comes up in, like we get excited at a football match. It's not talking about that. It's in terms of the, it's one of the mental factors that gets brought up in a presentation for developing calm abiding. So it's there when you talk about excitement, getting excited by, and in that context, for example, an object of attachment. Yeah. So again, I didn't say this, but this in English we use the word excited in a very different way. But that is the meaning of excitement here, about getting a mind getting excited about an external object. Okay.
Yeah, Yeah.